morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for 30 years here in this area with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, and also now with our friends over at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And what a joy it is to partner with them and to come and just sit at the feet of the Lord with you, just to listen for His heart as He speaks to us heart to heart. And if you joined us last time, you know we have this overarching theme and a topic that I call the portraits of God. Every time I go through the scriptures, I see portraits of God. And we're looking at a portrait of God called He is Our Fresh Beginning. Pretty apropos, given the start of a new year. And this is a three-part message that I began last time, nine takeaways about the Lord as our fresh beginning as we get a brand new start in 2023. So, if you have your Bibles, we'll be going to several places, actually. But you can start making your way over to John chapter 1 and then Colossians chapter 1. And as you're doing that, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. That's markpg.org, along with some videos, three-minute videos on different portraits of God, some devotional videos there. Also, some printouts of some quick notes and summaries and articles and all kinds of other things that are all designed simply to help you hear God. Oh, that's my heartbeat. I just want us to be able to hear God as He speaks to us. And so you can go to my website and find some helps to get you along that journey of discovering more and more about the Lord and His way. So that's markpg.org. And as is our custom, before we jump into our time of walking through the Word together, and today again talking about how He is our fresh beginning, oh, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I'm just so blessed to be able to have the opportunity to come and sit with my brothers and sisters at Your feet. And Lord, we want to listen for what You have for us today. I know even in preparing these, and then even as I record them and then later listen to them myself, I am so blessed. It's just, I'm not even doing it. I get so blessed and inspired just to go deeper into You. And Lord, I pray that will be what results from our time together this morning, as we continue to look at how You are indeed our fresh beginning. So thank You, Lord, for being the kind of God who loves to speak to His children. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends, if you're a note taker and want to jot down what these nine takeaways are, we've only gone through two of them starting last week. How, number one, the Lord, our fresh beginning, number one, creates something out of nothing. And we got that out of Genesis 1, verses 1 through 2. He creates something out of nothing. That's a great beginning right there. Secondly, we saw how He creates light in the darkness. We saw that also in the Genesis 1 passage, and also in the John chapter 1 passage, how He does indeed create light in the darkness. So let's pick it up in the John passage, because it's also going to give us our third point that we'll get into today, how the Lord, our fresh beginning, number three, creates all things from eternity past. So you see the buildup here? Number one, He creates something out of nothing. Number two, He creates light in the darkness. Number three, He creates all things from eternity past. I mean, there are fresh beginnings all around us and great depths to this great truth. So here's what it says in John 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Now, I know that can sound a little confusing as you're kind of reading it through, but there's a profound truth here. He creates all things from eternity past. What does it mean? All right, well, let's break it down. I love this phrase, how John is resurrecting the opening words of the Bible in the beginning. But what he's actually doing is he's going further back in the past than the beginning that is cited in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was the beginnings of the universe, the heavens and the earth. But God existed way before he created the heavens and the earth. God existed in eternity past. In fact, if you were to try to illustrate this, and let me just kind of put it this way, because I'm just so fascinated by this incredible truth. You see, the Bible is telling us that when it's talking about eternity, we typically think of today, and then we would illustrate that by maybe a dot on a single piece of paper, and then we'd draw an arrow to the right with a big arrowhead there saying it goes on and on and on. That's eternity, to the right in the future. Well, in a sense, that's half of eternity, because there's not only an eternity future, and this boggles my mind, but there's an eternity past. And you have to draw an arrow, not just going to the right side, going to the right into the future, but going to the left and going into past. And as far as it is into eternity past, which is never ending, so it will be in eternity future when it's never ending. And God has existed the whole time. He creates all things from eternity past. Why? Because that's where he has always been. So John, in a sense, trumps the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, which it's just citing the creation of the universe, the heavens and the earth. And he says, you know what? In further back in the beginning was the Word. In eternity past was the Word, the Logos. And the Word or Logos was with God. And the Word or Logos was God. He was in the beginning in eternity past with God. Now that just blows me away. That gives us a glimpse of the enormity of the Lord. He's way bigger than the universe itself. He's much older than the universe himself. Are you like me, and there are times when the things on this temporal plane, this finite existence on earth, get overwhelming? I mean, things maybe in your life, you're dealing with financial issues or family issues or work issues or parenting issues or whatever issues you have. You're dealing with your own past baggage, maybe from your growing up years, baggage from relationship struggles and hurts and betrayals. I was on a prayer walk earlier this week. I love getting up early in the mornings, and I go on these pre-dawn walks. I love to see the stars out in the sky. I love to see the dawn begin to awaken the day and the colors beginning to change. But it's in the nighttime, looking at the stars and the moon at whatever stage it's in, that I start looking at the vastness of space, that I'm reminded of the vastness of the Lord. I get a glimpse of his eternity in the enormity of the view of outer space. And so that's why I frequently love to get up early in the morning and before the sun has come up, to take that walk and just start the day being reminded of how huge God is and how small my issues are in comparison. Oh, my friend, one of the ways you can get a fresh beginning, even at each day, much less this fresh new year, is just to have a vivid reminder of how enormous and eternal the Lord God of the ages is. And if you really want to dig into that, the fact that he loves to speak to us, he is the Word, another way to see that. He is the conversation. I've got a story about that. Maybe I'll get to later. But he is always talking with us. And so this particular morning, earlier this week, I was headed back home from a long walk out in a back trail that we have near our home. And I had seen the stars turn into a slow dawn as the sun was rising. But as I got closer to my home on the way back, I saw one of my neighbors who lives about 8, 9, 10 houses from me. He was sitting down at the corner of his garage with the garage door open on a stool with his head in his hands, and I could just tell he was really heavy-hearted about something. And then we've chatted from time to time, and he knows the Lord and all. And the Lord just prompted me, you know, normally you just wave, you don't want to invade their privacy, but in this case, the Lord said, no, go talk with him. I heard the whisper, unmistakably, go and say hello. So I went, hey, good morning, bro, how you doing, you know? Actually, not all that well. I said, what? Oh, really? What's going on? And he began to share with me, in short, a tragic story that he had just discovered that a partner in business that he had betrayed him, that he had been embezzling money for over 20 years. And he was in shock about it. And what do you do next? And all that other stuff. I'm not going to get into the details of all of that. That's a whole other message about what do you do when this happens and that type of a thing. At this point, what I want to say about this is that when we experience betrayals like that, and we will get hurt. People will hurt us. Even those closest to you, be it a business partner or even your marital partner or your kids, we disappoint each other. And sometimes there is even betrayal. We get that. It's a fallen world. We're dealing with people dealing with sin and spiritual warfare and addictions. And they get bound up in their thinking. They get into denial. They get confused. They get disoriented. They start self-justifying. They start numbing themselves to reality. All kinds of things are going on, my friend. And it can be absolutely overwhelming when this horizontal world begins crashing in all around us, trying to rob our peace and our joy, excuse me, and our sense of safety and security and protection and love and peace. And this is what my dear friend was experiencing, and we all do experience that from time to time. But here's what I want you to hear. The Lord is our fresh beginning, who creates something out of nothing. He creates light in the darkness. He creates all things from eternity past. He is so big. He is so huge. He is more than able to handle whatever you're struggling with, whatever happens to you. And in him, he puts all things into perspective. He whispers constantly, encouraging you, reassuring you, I got you, I got this, I got your back, always have, always will. Do you trust me? You know, that is the depth of the Christian life. And will there be instant reprieve? No, it's going to be progressive. It's like anything else. Things take time. I reassured my neighbor, I said, my friend, you're grieving. There's been a loss. You've been betrayed. You're dealing with grief. It includes anger, includes depression. It's going to take time to work through this. There are ways that God does that. Just take a deep breath, because the things you're doing thus far, he had told me some of the things he'd been doing in the aftermath of this and then dealing with it in the future. I said, you're on the right track. You're hearing the Lord. Give yourself some time to walk through this. You're going to have to inch your way forward. It won't be healed in an instant. But that's assuming time. Does time heal? It depends. It depends on what you're focused on. It depends on what kind of help you're getting. You know, I can go to the golf course, driving range, and practice my golf swing. Now, I'm a tennis player, and I'm trying to learn golf, right? And it's a totally different swing. Well, I can go and practice on the golf course driving range, my new golf swing. But if it's a bad swing, I'm making it worse rather than better if I go and practice that bad swing over and over and over again. I need to go practice a good swing. I need to have some help from somebody who knows golf to show me what a good swing looks like. And that's what counseling is. That's getting a pastor or a counselor or even your mate and even a friend, you know, to say, can you talk me through this? Would you have some thoughts about this? And that is the thing that we need to understand. The Lord indeed wants to create all things new for us. But he's going to use people that know him. And as long as we walk with humility, wanting the help and focusing on things that are good, that's when the healing comes. And God loves to heal. My friend, focused inching is way better than unfocused hurrying. When something happens to us and we try to hurry through it, you know, and we're disoriented and we just kind of try to fly through it. No, we ricochet through the whole thing and it makes things worse. It takes time for these kinds of things to be resolved. And the Lord has plenty of time. He's existed from eternity past. He's going to exist into eternity future. If we know Christ, we're going to exist into eternity future. Our life on this planet is but a speck on that timeline diagram compared to the sea of eternity that awaits for us on the other side of death. So in this little speck of time, don't you think the God of eternity past is able to help you deal with this? And that he will take a few weeks or months and even years to help you heal, assuming you practice the right golf swing, talk to the right people who can help you? Absolutely, my friend. So, you know, just take a deep breath right now and say, Lord, you know what? I give you everything in my life. I give you everyone in my life. You've got this. You've got this. You've known this from eternity past. You'll know this in eternity future. You can handle this speck of time right now in my life. You know what, Lord? I'm just going to breathe, step back, and listen for your whispers and take one step at a time on the healing path, on the forgiveness path, on the restoration path. Oh, my friend, I yearn for you to experience that. By the way, a good book you can grab is called The Cure. What if God isn't who you think he is, and neither are you? It's got three authors to it, but just look up The Cure, What If God, and on the internet, and it'll show you this white book, you know, with some water pouring out. It's a wonderful journey that'll help you get healing from so much of the hurt that we experience in this life. Oh, get a fresh beginning, my friends, because the Lord, our fresh beginning, number one, creates something out of nothing. Number two, creates light in the darkness. Number three, creates all things from eternity past. And number four, he creates and is our life. He creates and is our life. I'm taking you way deep here. Look at it in John chapter 1, verse 4. Just to put it in context once again, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being. See, he created you. He created the universe. He created you. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and life was the light of men. So there you go. In him was life. I like the scripture that says, in him we live and move and have our being. Why? Because he is a creator. He created us. But not only did he create us, he is our life when we come to Christ. It's our oneness with him. When you become a brand new believer, when you become born again, when you ask the Lord to come into your life and to be your Lord and Master and Savior, when you say, I do, to the invitation of Jesus Christ to, in effect, marry him or enter covenant with him, he becomes the lead partner in this covenant with you. And not only that, what was once two different entities now becomes one. The oneness that we have in Christ is one of the deepest principles of all of Scripture, one of the deepest truths that we have, because somehow in the mystery of God's ways, when we come into Christ, the Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Elsewhere it says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's a oneness there. And he wants us not just to imitate him and act like him. That's a good starting point conceptually, but even deeper, no. He wants to flow through us to others. He wants his love to flow in us, through us, and out to others, and his humility, and his grace, and his peace. He's our very life. When we get this, when we get that we were created to walk in oneness or in unity with Christ, and that we have the mind of Christ, it's a game changer. But this is so mysterious and so deep, it takes a lifetime to really try to grasp it and then walk in it and see ourselves as being one with Christ. Oh, I just love this truth. Wow. But there it is. Right there. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, the Lord, our fresh beginning, creates something out of nothing. Number 2, creates light in the darkness. Number 3, creates all things from eternity past. Number 4, creates and is our life. And number 5, he creates access to his grace and truth. He creates access to his grace and truth. Oh, I love this. Let's look at it in John 14. Now we know how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. But then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh, which we just celebrated over Christmas, the incarnation, him became in flesh and dwelling among us. Christmas time's all about that. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. My friends, when we come to Christ, when we become one with him now, he has created access to his grace and truth. My friend, don't separate the two. Sometimes we think we're acting in grace by withholding the truth from people. Other times we want to speak the truth, but it's so harsh, there's no grace in it, that it becomes harmful. In fact, years ago, I fancied myself as having the gift of prophecy back in my college years, you know, and speaking the black and white heart truths of God. Hey, brother, I see you sinning in your life. Boom. You know, hey, brother, I see this in your life. Boom. You know, and I just thought my job was to be a fiery kind of evangelist and preacher. And all. And the Lord got a hold of me, and he took me to 2 Timothy 2:24 as I was reading the scriptures one day, and he stopped me dead in my tracks. And he said, son, prophecy, speaking truth, is not like a crazy guy with a shotgun. Here's what it really looks like. And 2 Timothy 2:24 and following says this, and the servant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those that are in opposition, not harshness, not cruelly, not like a sawed-off shotgun, but more like a surgical scalpel under anesthetic. Doing some surgery, but properly, gently, carefully. The servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those that are in opposition, that God may grant repentance. That's a change of mind. God may grant repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. There it is. We're seeing grace and truth together. leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they might escape from the snare of the devil, being held captive by him to do his will. People are deluded and deceived by the enemy. They are entrapped by his clever schemes and lies. You don't be harsh with people like that. You help rescue them from that, and you do it with kindness. The scripture says in Romans, it's the kindness of the Lord leads to repentance. Grace and truth go together, my friend. Even in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, the first thing he did, he comforted them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn. He comforted first, then he affirmed them. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And then he did the reveal. Look, you've heard it said this, but I say to you that. He didn't reveal and correct them without first comforting and affirming them. Oh, my friends, God creates access to his grace and truth so that we can speak with others in grace and truth. Do not separate them. Oh, this is the Lord, our fresh beginning, wanting to use us to help others get a fresh beginning in their lives. Well, Lord, we're so grateful that you, trust us with such a great opportunity to share your grace and truth with others. But we know the ability to do that is preceded by our ability to receive it from you. And that's our prayer today. Oh, thank you, Lord, for being a fresh beginning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Hey, check out my website at markpg.org. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, your fresh beginning.